Hello and welcome to episode 96 of the Blue Cup Tools podcast. I'm Francisco Gonzalez, also known as Grunislav, and with me, as always, and again in person.
Hello, I am Ben Chandler, also known as Ben304. How are you?
I'm well. You should probably get closer to the microphone.
Okay.
Just scooch up a little bit. We're all friends here.
We are.
I know I'm not wearing pants, but don't be afraid.
When have you ever worn pants when we podcast?
Never.
Right.
Actually, that's not true. I wore them in Seabird.
Oh, well.
That was the last time we podcasted in person. Anyway, I'm doing all right. How have you been?
I'm well. Thank you.
You're in my apartment.
I am. I'm in your country.
I'm in
your continent.
You are.
I'm in your city. I'm in your state. I'm in your borough.
You're in my face.
I am.
Get out.
Well, you just told me to scooch closer. What? You're so indecisive.
I know I am. I'm a terrible
person. I never know what you want from me.
I know. I know. Anyway, yeah, good. You're here in New York.
Hello.
You've been here for a few days.
I have been for a few days, yes.
We've been going around and having adventures.
Yes, we have.
Kind
we've seen. Well, we've been touring.
We have been.
Hmm.
We have been.
It's touring. Been good.
Yeah. How have you been enjoying it so far?
Good. I like New York City. It's nice.
Good. I'm glad. Does it, you know, you come from a farm with nice, clean air. Is the city, comfortable for you?
I don't mind
cities. You haven't
cities.
Had any problems with, like, pollution or anything?
No, I haven't, you know. I saw a lady throw up on the sidewalk yesterday. That kind of made my New York trip complete.
Yes.
Like, that was one of the sights that I really wanted to see.
Good.
It was a strange person throwing up, so...
I'm glad.
Yeah.
I'm very glad.
The only other one I'm missing is an old guy peeing on a subway.
Okay, well, the you're still here for another but you'll be back...
I'll be back soon.
Soon, and so you still have plenty of opportunities for that.
Hooray!
So, have you played anything? Actually, we didn't podcast last week because you were en route on... Saturday.
Yeah. Honestly, I don't know.
So you've had a couple of weeks. Have you played anything in the past couple of weeks?
I'm trying to think what I've played. My mind's a blur. My mind's filled with the sights and sounds of New York City and smell.
Sorry.
Yeah.
There's a pup. I'll just come over here.
Yeah. But no, I honestly cannot remember. So probably.
Really?
Yeah.
Are you sure about that?
I must be overwhelmed.
Didn't you play anything before you left?
Oh, probably.
At your home?
Probably.
Oh.
That's all a blur.
Okay.
I don't remember any of that.
You didn't play anything on the plane?
No, I mostly watched things on the little screen.
Oh. Okay.
I loaded my laptop up with games and then didn't play any of them because I was like,
That happened to me too last time I went to Australia. Mm. Although I did play Sam and Max on the flight from New York to LA.
That's right.
And I played a little bit of Day of the Tentacle on the flight.
And then you played
Perth.
Some going from Perth to... Yeah,
And then my laptop died.
Mm. But yeah, no, I think the last week I was in Australia, I was sort of in a mad rush to get all my work finished up.
Mm.
And I got a big bunch of work to do at the last minute, so I sort of ran out of time to play much.
So, you played a game at my house.
Yes, I did. I played some Assassin's Creed Black Flag.
How did you find that?
I enjoyed it.
What did you do?
I went whaling.
You did?
Mm.
That's cruel.
It is.
But not in video games, because no one actually
The
dies.
Polygons don't feel the pain.
Or do they?
They don't.
Okay.
They don't, I can promise you. So yeah, one of the things I had asked you is, do you mind if I play Assassin's Creed just to try it when I'm there? Because I'd thought about buying it, but I'm like, I don't know.
Mm.
I'm curious. I'm not sure.
Mm.
So I was hoping it would be like Sid Meier's Pirates 3, which is not...
No, it's really not. No. I mean, it has fun piratey elements, but...
Yeah, it's fun smashing into the ships.
Yeah, and shooting your cannons and stuff.
You were laughing a lot when I was just smashing the hell out of everybody.
It was funny.
Just destroying everything in my path. And then I went whaling and caught the things you'd never caught, and you're like,
Yeah, it really made me kind of want to go back and revisit the game.
Mm-hmm.
Except I've noticed that playing games on the PlayStation 3 is weird now after playing PS4, because the controller just feels so... I don't know.
Yeah, the PS4 controller feels very sturdy and solid.
It really does.
I was impressed.
Hmm. Well.
What have you been playing?
I've been playing Uncharted 4.
You have?
You saw me play some.
I did.
I'm almost at the end. I've really been enjoying it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a departure for the Uncharted series because it has a lot of interactive elements that I think they took from Neil Druckmann learned and did on The Last of Us. I mean, it's still an Uncharted game. There's still combat, but it isn't as frequent as in other Uncharted games, and it's not like waves upon waves of enemies coming at you. I think I joked at you or told you that by like chapter 10 I had only killed about 113 people.
Yeah, it's funny because I saw someone complain that like 8 hours in, they're like, oh, it's all been filler. I haven't done anything.
That's like, the thing, though. It's not filler. It's great. Like, there's a bit where you actually, like, are in your house and you get to... There was a really sweet bit where, like, you're in your attic and he picks up a plastic gun and he's, like, starts shooting targets on his, that are hanging from his ceiling.
Yeah, but if you sign up for an action game, that's filler, surely.
I guess. But if you sign up for an action game with a good story and a decent narrative, that's, you know, should be satisfying to you.
Okay.
I like it.
Yeah,
like
no, I just found it interesting that one person, like, all your report has been, like, really, oh, this is cool. And then, you know, a lot of people have really liked it. And I saw one person sort of go, ah, this just kind of feels like filler. And I was like, interesting.
Well, that person's wrong.
Well, opinions are opinions. I don't think people are wrong.
I think you're wrong right
okay,
now.
I know. That's why you're wrong.
Yes, exactly.
We're all wrong in this life.
We are. How sad.
But yeah, it seems to be very well received. The bit that I saw made me go, oh, that looks frustrating.
Yeah, I mean, the bit that you saw was me trying to figure out how to get through a cave underwater.
No, the bit that I saw was you dying over and over again when people were shooting grenades at you.
Oh, that's right.
And
that's
I went,
right.
This looks awful.
That was actually the most difficult time I've had with combat. Maybe I just got nervous because you were watching me.
And you wanted to prove that Uncharted's good to me.
Not really. Mm. I just wanted to play while you were... doing other things.
Okay.
You had just gotten home. I mean, we had just gotten here and you were, you know, orienting yourself. That's my Boba Fett pen.
Yeah, you have a Boba Fett pen.
I think I got that in a box of Honey Nut Cheerios.
Cheerio.
Why don't you talk about how you've been trying American cereals?
I've eaten a lot of American cereal.
And food.
Yeah, it's interesting that you can sell children breakfast food that's sweeter than most Australian candy.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
I gave you a lesson on cereal mascots.
Hmm.
There's a lot of intrigue and subterfuge in American cereal mascots that I didn't realize until I explained them to you. For instance, the fact that Lucky Charms are always trying to be stolen, and there's a lot of theft, I guess.
There's a lot of theft in American food mascots.
Yeah, I mean, the Trix Rabbit is always trying to get the Trix, but the kids are always keeping it from him.
Hmm.
Which, in my opinion, and I think yours, they should probably just let the damn rabbit have the Trix.
Well, I think they're mostly keeping it from the rabbit, because, like, dude, if you eat this, you'll die. We like you, little rabbit. Don't eat the cereal. We're trying to protect you.
Yeah.
It's like parents trying to keep their children away from hard drugs.
It's true. Mm. And then you have Sunny, the Cocoa Puffs bird, who goes cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs and launches into like an insane fit every time he eats them. Probably because they're so sugary.
They're very sugary.
He probably has a sensitivity to sugar or something.
Mm. Or high fructose corn syrup.
That's true.
As it were. My tricks today on the front of the packet, because I got just a little sample pack with tiny bits of everything. It said, no high fructose corn syrup. And when you look at the ingredients on the back, it goes, ingredients, corn syrup.
Mm.
Which made me think, it's okay to be dishonest.
Yeah.
To some extent.
And as you pointed out, that's the tricks.
That's right. The tricks is lying on the packet. And if you complain, they can just go, you wanted tricks.
That's true.
We played the tricks.
We played the tricks on you.
Mm.
What about pizza? You've had authentic New York pizza.
It's nice.
Is that your whole review?
Oh, it's good. It's good pizza. It's not like it's ruined every other pizza I've ever had, because every other pizza I've had mostly has been good pizza too.
Well, good. I'm like, glad.
But it's a lot bigger than I'm used to.
Everything has been.
It's funny, before I came here, you're like, the portions aren't really any different to Australian portions, and everywhere you've taken me so far, the portions have been massive. You can't finish them.
Well, I mean, I've been able to finish most of them.
No, you haven't.
Sure I have.
You didn't finish your cheesesteak.
I left like a crumb of my cheesesteak.
You didn't finish all the fries that came with your burger the other day.
Nah, I very rarely finish fries.
Right, so you're not finishing your portions.
Well.
Fries count as part of the portions.
I finished my giant Monte Cristo French toast.
Yeah, that was nice.
Yeah. And I finished all the other horrible things we've been eating. We've really been eating horrible things.
Yeah. Well, dude, you've been picking the locations.
You're right. I'm terribly sorry.
Yeah. Like, we did kind of joke that I'd go home like 50 pounds heavier.
Yeah,
but that's,
you're well on your way.
That's not going to be a joke soon.
No, it's not. Yeah. But we've been doing a lot of walking and stuff.
That's true. We've been seeing a lot of the city on foot.
Yes, we have. Also, we just segued back into what we were talking about before after talking about what we've been playing.
Good.
But hey, you know, have I played anything else besides Uncharted 4? I don't think so.
Not that I've seen.
Are you going to make a terrible pun?
No.
Okay. You just put on your sunglasses for those listening.
I know
at
what
home.
I did.
I know, but I'm narrating for those at home.
They don't need to know what I'm wearing. This isn't some perverted podcast where Ponch needs to know the entire rundown of my wardrobe.
Okay.
Ponch?
Ponch, he's wearing a greetings from Dunwall brown shirt and a pair of blue jeans and some sneakers that look like Converse but aren't.
Yeah, they're nearly worn out.
Yeah, well.
Well, they're not nearly worn out, but they're getting old.
Oh, well.
Anyway.
Aren't we all?
Well, you are.
What, are you not?
No.
Okay.
I'm getting middle-aged.
Okay. Anyway, we have a... Ooh, we're going to run out of time, or we're going to have this podcast be cut pretty short because we're only 11 minutes in, and usually we're still blabbing about what we've played this time.
Yeah, because normally it's me.
Yeah, normally.
Normally I've played 14 games, and today I've downloaded a lot of games.
What have you downloaded?
Oh, I've got a lot. I've got the two Metro games, Redux and 2033.
Okay.
I've been wanting to play those for a long time because I'm a sucker for cheap. Well, not cheap, but I'm a sucker for cheesy first-person action shooters.
Mm.
So, yeah, I'm excited about those. The Vanishing of Ethan Carter.
Oh.
Hmm.
You downloaded that?
Yes.
That was a weird way of asking. You downloaded that?
Yeah. Sorry, on your internet. How dare you?
Oh, so, yeah, no, I don't know. I didn't... Yeah, I thought you needed to have a super powerful computer to play that.
I do.
Oh, okay.
Just at home.
Okay. Yeah. Fair enough.
Oh, it's on GOG, so I can just put it across on the thumb drive. I got... The Banner Sagas 1 and 2.
Okay.
Excited to play those.
Mm.
It's going to be good. Age of Decadence, which is decadent.
You mean what?
What we've been doing. What else? Good question. I can't remember all of them. I think Star Wolves 3.
Did you check out The Way?
I have downloaded it, but I haven't checked it out.
Okay.
My backer key came in.
Nice. Yeah, that was recommended to us by Sonata Fanatica, a.k.a. Steven Venker.
Yeah.
Hello, Steven. I know you listen to the podcast.
Yeah. Although I'd already backed it, so I kind of have been watching the updates for ages and was like, oh, wow, the keys come in. I'll download it. How convenient.
Cool. Yeah, I hadn't heard of it, and I looked into it, and it looks pretty cool.
Mm.
I haven't purchased it yet, but I will probably check it out at some point.
Yeah, it looks good. I also got... what's the one that you like, the Telltale one?
Oh, The Wolf Among Us.
Yeah, The Wolf Among Us. I got that after your glowing review. And I got Tales of the Borderlands after Dave's glowing review.
Okay.
So, yeah, I'm kind of catching up on stuff that normally too big for me to download.
Cool.
So I look forward. I'm basically while I'm here, obviously I don't want to be playing games. I want to be out doing New York things. But if I get them all here, when I get home, I can sit on my beanbag and enjoy the loot that I gathered whilst in New York City.
Good, good, good,
good,
good. So, our topic today, our shaky topic today.
It is a very shaky topic, but...
It is. I decided, since you've been going around seeing Blackwell locations, as well as yesterday we saw some Deus Ex locations.
And Gold Rush.
And Gold Rush, yes. I thought we could talk about games, not just adventure games, but games in general, that feature New York City as a setting that you've played.
Grand Theft Auto 3.
Yes, and games that I've played as well. And we'll just talk a little bit about how New York is represented in those games versus how New York actually is. And, you know, observations that you've made based on what we've seen so far. So, yeah, let's start with Deus Ex because that's freshest in our minds.
And that's the one I know best.
Exactly.
So I've played that one a lot. It's interesting. I love... The Hell's Kitchen area in New York is one of my favorite. And you know, you start the game in Liberty Island, then you go to sort of Battery Park, and then you go to Hell's Kitchen.
Mm.
And so we haven't been to Liberty Island because the lines for the boat are just disgusting.
Yes.
But we went to Battery Park yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And, it's funny because we went into Clinton Castle and I was like, oh, it's the thing and this is different and that's different. And You know, I was like, where's the statue? And you're like, what statue?
Well, you were very disappointed in Castle Clinton because you were like, this doesn't look anything like
it. Well, no, it looked like the game, but there were some things that were different. So I was like, that's interesting. Mm. But yeah, I was like, where's the statue? And you're like, which statue? I'm like, I know there's a statue on top of which there's a vial of Zyme and there's some columns like that lead up to it. So we walked around and I'm like, I see it. So we went over there and that was very cool because it seems like they've slightly changed the geography of it.
Yeah.
And added a wall in.
Oh, yeah, sure. There's that wall when you get off of the boat that there's like the secret door to get into. Yeah.
But I think they've added two walls in.
Okay. Well,
but,
yeah.
But, the fact that it was like that in the game and like that in real life, I was like, oh, this is cool. You know, this is like, and I kind of said to you, like, flying in on the plane, and seeing all the buildings and bridges and the statue and everything that I'd seen on a million, you know, things in media.
Yes.
You know, because I can't just go, oh, films, TV, games. It's in everything there. It's everywhere.
Mm.
Seeing that stuff, I kind of felt like a fan of Star Wars flying into, like, you know, Naboo or something like that. Well, not that they go to Naboo if they're a real fan, but yeah. Flying into, you know,
Tunisia.
Flying into the Death Star or something and be like, oh, that's all the thing, you know. So it was kind of weird, like, seeing all that stuff in real life. I was like, oh, that's cool. And, yeah, so we went to Hell's Kitchen, which isn't really much like it is in the... Well, it's not at all like it is in the game, but it's kind of got the same atmosphere, minus a few, you know, thugs.
I guess.
Trying to beat you up and, like, the guy in the alley is trying to... be mean to the girl. Well, we didn't see that. It might have been happening.
It might have been.
Yeah, but just to go to a place that you spend a lot of time in. Because I spent a lot of time in Hell's Kitchen in Deus Ex through various replays. And feeling that atmosphere. And, you know, seeing the hotel that the ton was based on. And, like, well, in name.
Yeah.
If nothing more.
Yeah.
And, yeah, just being in that area is kind of fun. And I guess... you get sentimental because Deus Ex was a very formative experience for me.
Mm.
And it kind of changed how I think about games a lot because I was like a kid when I played that. So yeah, like, you know, 13 or something. And that was like the thing like, oh, this is how games should be. You know, when I very strongly believed that was the only good game. Not, I didn't believe it was the only good game, but I was like, oh, this is the future.
Yeah.
So.
Well, we'll be going to Brighton Beach later today, so you might still get a chance to hear someone go, I spilled my drink!
That's true. So, yeah. I know of Brighton Beach from a typo negative song.
Okay.
So.
Well, you never played too much of Grand Theft Auto 4, did you?
No. Well, I played it. I played about half of it, I think.
Okay. And well, I mean, it starts off in the equivalent of Brighton Beach.
Okay. That's cool.
And, you know, it's right by the Coney Island in... Grand Theft Auto 4. It's basically really tiny, but it's very compressed. It's funny because I remember when GTA 4 came out, they made this whole big fuss because you were talking about GTA 3 earlier, and the Liberty City in GTA 3, it was kind of New York, but it's really nothing like New York. I mean, it's kind of more generic, just northeastern city with maybe elements of Chicago because it has an elevated train that goes around. It doesn't even really have much of a subway system from what I remember. Did GTA 3 have a subway?
It's got one tunnel.
Yeah, that's right. But, so yeah, when they redid, you know, with every iteration of GTA, the map got bigger. Like, you know, Vice City obviously was bigger than GTA 3 and
San Andreas was huge. Massive.
Yeah, and when you went back to GTA 3, it felt like a little rinky-dink city that you could get through in like 2 minutes. But then when they went into the next gen and they did GTA 4 and it was Liberty City again, it was like, oh wow, they're going to include all the boroughs, like the equivalent of the boroughs in New York and even New Jersey, except for Staten Island, because no one cares about Staten Island. But it was funny because when I first played it, I was like, wow, this is so big. And you know, I had been to New York several times when GTA 4 came out. And I really enjoyed after I, because I mean, at that time, I hadn't really spent too much time in any other borough except Manhattan. So when I finally was able to unlock Manhattan and I was able to go in and, like, walk around and ride the subway and stuff, I was really excited. Because I remember there's a bit where when you come out at the southern tip of the Manhattan, or Algonquin, as they call it in GTA 4, there's a park with a fountain, which we actually passed yesterday, if you remember. Mm-hmm. That park where all the cops were handing out stuff. Yeah, that park is in GTA 4. And so I was like walking around, you know, fake Manhattan. I was like, wow, this is so big and so cool and so accurate. And like walking around Central Park and stuff. But then replaying it after I moved here, like there are certain spots that they got really well. And there are other spots that are just like completely off.
Yeah.
Like, and other spots that you can tell they compressed it like crazy. Like, you know, going to the Coney Island equivalent in GTA 4 is funny because if you stand on the beach and you look to the right, you see like, you know, the financial district is right there. Whereas in real life, it's way long away. You wouldn't be able to see it.
It's interesting. I'd be interested to replay True Crime Streets of New York, which apparently got it pretty close.
Yeah, I've never played that one, but yeah.
It's like you hear Chicago people say about Watch Dogs, like how cool it is being just driving around Chicago.
Yeah.
I'm like, I wonder, because I've got True Crime Streets of New York, and I wonder, like, if I go back to it now, having seen it.
Yeah.
But I can't remember how much of New York that covers. I assume it's mostly Manhattan.
I think it was a very small portion of Manhattan.
But they did it quite detailed.
Yeah, it's kind of like the new Tom Clancy one. What is it?
I forget what that's called.
It's not The Syndicate or The Order, even though those are generic Tom Clancy sounding names. The Division.
The Division, yes.
Yeah. Although they were apparently going to include more of the city in that, but they ended up only going with Manhattan, which is a shame.
Well, there's only so much you can do in a budget.
That's true.
Mm.
But, yeah, it's pretty funny, especially because, like, Prospect Park is really tiny in GTA 4. It's not even called anything. The arch is there, but it's in a weird spot. But you haven't seen the arch, so...
No.
Irrelevant!
Correct.
What about Max Payne?
Max Payne, I think they went for, like, the idealized flavor of New York that you've seen in films without actually doing anything that was New York-y.
Mm.
Like,
yeah.
It's just like, but I mean, it's not the same in Blackwell Epiphany, but when I was doing Epiphany, for me, Dave kind of gave me like locations, but a lot of it were just made up stuff, and I'm just looking at photos and like trying to capture the essence of New York that I'd seen in films and games and read in books, and like, it's interesting going around to some of the locations that I've painted and seeing how different it is in small ways, especially from a photograph. Sometimes you can't tell the depth.
Mm.
And there's some things that I'm like, oh, that's way shallower than I thought it was, or that's way deeper than I thought it was from the photograph.
Yeah, it was interesting. You were commenting on that when we were walking around and seeing the, like, Tompkins Square Park. You were like, oh, I've painted this monument, but it's so interesting to see it in life where you can like actually walk around it and get a sense of that stuff.
And what I got wrong and what is actually pretty close is interesting to see.
Mm.
And like even little things, because you know, I've done a lot of research of New York City just trying to get a feel for it now that I'm painting it again.
Mm.
And I aren't flying as so much by the seat of my pants. I'm like, well, now I can actually put some ideas in. And I said to Dave, you know, just walking for 10 minutes in Brooklyn, I'm like, well, I've already learned a lot just from being in the place.
Have you learned, Ben Chandler?
Just the way buildings sit on the street and how they're put together. Those little stuff, you know. Certain little architectural details that I'd seen in a few pictures but didn't realize how prevalent they are.
Mm.
You know. And just sidewalks are more diverse than one would ever give them credit for.
Noticed the sparkly ones yesterday in Times Square?
Mm.
Those are odd.
Well, it's Times Square.
Yeah, I know. What would you think if you ever got asked to draw Times Square?
I would think I would need a lot of very bright colors. And I would need a very long shot.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's tricky.
I think if
I drew Times Square once.
I think if I was doing Times Square, I would spend some time doing animated video like walls, because that is...
Yeah.
They're massive and there's a lot of them.
Yeah,
so that would be pretty fun, I think.
Hmm.
Doing like, you know, seeing how easy it would be to make some large billboard video advertisements.
Mm.
So, yeah, Times Square is interesting because it's a thing you hear a lot about. And as we were walking up to it, you sort of said, I wonder how long it's going to take for you, like, your senses to be overwhelmed by Times Square. I really didn't feel that overwhelmed by it, like, at all, you know. I was overwhelmed by the fact that we're in the city that never sleeps. And everywhere you had taken me to eat was all closed at, was it even midnight? It was like 11 o'clock.
It was just after midnight.
All right. And I was like, city that never sleeps.
Yeah.
Everything's closed.
What can I tell you?
I was like, I think I've been sold a...
Yeah. No. Eh. Whatever.
Anyway.
But yeah, so... Well, it wasn't because we ended up eating at Five Guys, but...
True.
Yeah. The big Times Square chain restaurants all close at midnight.
Mm.
Which is, you know, pretty good for a chain restaurant. Usually they close at like 11.
Yeah, but city that never sleeps. If you're going to sell me on something...
Well, it's city that never sleeps, not restaurants that never sleep.
Okay. Mm. Well, you know, I just sort of assumed that there'd be a lot of 24-hour places, and there aren't that many.
Well, you just have to know where to look.
Yeah.
And
well,
I don't.
You clearly don't, yeah.
Yeah, so there you go.
But yeah, Times Square...
The 24-hour place I know where to look is my refrigerator.
Right. Times Square seems like it would suck to draw just because of how many people there are.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and
well, like I said, I drew Times Square for the title screen of A Golden Wake, but there was a few things that made it easier, which was, one, it was supposed to be in, like, 1921.
Where so there weren't any human beings.
There weren't any neon billboards or anything. It was just a bunch of bright lights, so that was easy enough. The other thing was that it was in the middle of winter, so I cheated by having it just be snow-covered and not having any pedestrians around, which, you know, it was beyond my skill level at the time. Now, if I went back and did it, I would probably add some pedestrians. I tried adding a car randomly going into the background, but it just didn't look right the way I did it. So I ended up just making it, you know, a nice, peaceful scene with neon or bright lights flashing.
The normally very, very busy Times Square was just quiet for a moment.
Exactly.
Which is fun.
Well, I mean, in 1920, it probably wouldn't have been as busy as it is now. I mean, it was pretty empty when we went on Sunday night because, you know, it's Sunday night.
Hmm.
But we walked past it yesterday and it was pretty busy in the middle of the day.
Yeah. I mean, all of like Wall Street and that was very busy yesterday.
Well, yeah, it was a nice sunny day and tourists were out en masse.
It was a sunny day.
It was. Hmm. It's a sunny day today, too.
It is.
Why are we indoors recording a podcast?
Because the roller coaster doesn't open till 12.
That's right.
You ask, I answer.
I know. But yeah, if I went back and I did it, I would probably add more life. And maybe an Elmo, a knockoff Elmo costume.
A very wonky Spider-Man.
Yes, just for good measure.
And a Statue of Liberty standing on a stepladder.
Yes. Those people are so silly.
Yeah.
I mean, you gotta earn your living somehow, but I wonder how much of a living they can earn doing
that. And how much demand is there for grotesque Elmo?
I don't know.
Hmm.
I really don't know. We didn't even see grotesque Cookie Monster. Sometimes Elmo and Cookie Monster hang out together and it looks pretty funny.
We saw knockoff Mario with his head lifted up and the wearer wearing a dust mask.
Yeah.
That was nice.
Yeah.
That was kind of that proved my point to myself that Mario is awful.
That's a shame.
Well, the fact that he walks around with his head snapped back and peeled up and a dust mask on his secondary inner face like some freakish parasite.
Mm. So, turning
but
the lens
maybe,
onto
maybe you, the pollution in that area is so bad that if he doesn't wear a dust mask, he'll throw up.
Maybe. You made me lose my train of thought.
I'm very sorry.
That's okay. Oh, right. I was going to say, turning the lens onto you, I know you already talked a little bit about already seeing some of the stuff in Unavowed and Blackwell, but like, yeah, just not the stuff that you've painted, but the stuff that we've seen that have been locations from Blackwell games that you've played.
Oh, sure.
Like Washington Square Park. Did you think of that?
That was interesting because obviously it's a fairly compressed version in the game and you don't quite get the impression of how big it is.
Yeah.
And it's really quite large.
Yeah.
And, you know, that was cool though because that was not my introduction to New York City, but that was my introduction to New York City in a way that was a place in New York City that wasn't Liberty Island, that wasn't Brooklyn Bridge, you know, and, I was like, this is actually a city with other places in it, you know? It's not just these three things, the famous buildings, the famous bridges, and the famous statue.
Mm.
So that was cool to kind of go to that area and be like, oh yeah, I see where we are now, you know?
Mm.
Another one was being on the Brooklyn Bridge where the ashes get scattered.
Yes.
You know, and obviously I'd painted a version of that, but being there was kind of like this, that was probably the most, sort of reflective moment for me because, you know, it's the moment where the game series that got me this job basically started.
Mm.
And it's the moment where that series ended. Mm. And I was like, this is the first big commercial game I've worked on for Dave. Like, you know, so that was a kind of two-part thing. And also it's a game series I love. And as a story moment itself, you know, that affected me quite a lot.
Mm.
And to be there was very, you wouldn't think that one shot would have so many feelings associated with it, but
well, it's a pretty iconic shot, really.
And that's one of the things that looks exactly like it does in the game, pretty much. And like being there, I was like, oh wow, this is, you know, there's a couple of things different. Like,
yeah, sure, they knocked down Pier 41 and they're rebuilding it.
But... and if you sprinkle the ashes, they go into cars.
Yeah, exactly.
But
you
still
have to throw them.
Being in that exact spot and like seeing that view brought back a lot of memories. It's weird because I have nostalgia for a place I've just been to for the first time yesterday, which is really weird, but
yeah, well,
but I
happens.
Think it's kind of understandable.
Yeah,
you
sure.
know, it's like yeah, so that was really nice, and that's probably the one I enjoyed most. The other one was Grace Church. That was really cool to see, because Grace Church was kind of the location that I did that I was like, you know, really caring about getting it looking right, because it's such an interesting old building.
Right.
And so that's the one that, you know, that's one that I put a lot of effort into.
Mm-hmm.
And to see it up close, I was like, oh man, I remember painting this. And it was funny because I said to Dave, I was like, oh man, this has changed. These trees are way leafier, because I remember drawing the buildings behind them.
Yeah.
And he was like, oh wow, that's cool. But, yeah, that was really nice. And, you know, Grace Church is kind of iconic of Epiphany being on the poster itself. And,
right.
You know, being a place where one of the major scenes in the games happen. And the game happens. I got the S on the wrong word then.
That's all right.
Yeah, but so that was really nice. And, yeah, I can see why Dave wanted to put so many of those locations in the thing. Because they're not massive locations, not super iconic. But they build a sense of an area.
Yeah.
And that's cool. And, you know, at some point, probably not this week, but next time I'm back, which is in like 3 weeks.
Yeah.
I would like to visit the High Line.
Yeah. You know, I was thinking about the High Line yesterday when we were walking around Hell's Kitchen, but it was a bit too far away from where we were. I mean,
we kind of ran out of time anyway.
Yeah, we did. So
we always run out of time.
But yeah. But yeah, you still need to see the High Line. I still need to take you to Roosevelt Island.
Yep.
I still need to go a few places.
There's a few.
For the Blackwell tour.
Yeah. We're getting there.
Yeah, sure.
We're getting there.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's nice to see that stuff, and, you know, not just the stuff that I've drawn, but the stuff that I'm nostalgic for, just as, oh, this is where this happened in the games.
Yeah.
You know, and in other games, you know, just being in the area of Brooklyn that sort of Gold Rush takes place in. Because I love...
Ah, yes, Gold Rush.
I love the Brooklyn section of Gold Rush.
Yeah.
You know, I love the fact that it's not an adventure game, that you're literally... It feels like a city simulator. And to sort of be in that area, even though obviously a lot has changed since Gold Rush took place.
Yeah.
And to be sort of in that location, even though nothing looks the same, was really nice for me. And, like, I really love walking around in Gold Rush, just in Brooklyn, just like, you know, you take the flowers to your parents' grave and everything like that.
Yeah, I'm actually looking up right now to see if that screenshot in the graveyard is actually Greenwood Cemetery, because I don't, when we were up on the hill, it didn't really look like what I remembered it looking like in the game.
It doesn't look like
anyway.
They have the shot there.
No, I'll have to look it up somewhere else probably.
But yeah, that's anyway. My favorite. It's really weird because Gold Rush, that section of Brooklyn is one of my favorite sections in any old Sierra game, or Sierra published game ever. Because it's just, it feels like this whole world of, like, you know, people driving past, there's a guy doing yard work, there's a little guy
in painting his fence.
Yeah, there's telling bad jokes. There's a little guy in his house that, like, sells tickets, and if you stop at his gate, he, like, waves at you from the window and then opens his little door, steps down the front porch, and then walks down the path and, like, opens the gate to greet you. And it really gave me this sense of place. And to see that kind of sense of place in actual location, it's not the same because it's not the exact buildings or the exact locations, but you still get that sense of, you know, this is where that happened. And this is what they were talking about. So yeah, I like that a lot.
Good.
You're trying to find the cemetery to have a look at it.
I am, and it's proving difficult.
Yeah, we might have to come back to that.
Oh, well. What was I going to say? Oh, yeah, but you did see Greenwood, which is another Blackwell location.
Yeah, that was... We found the spot. Yeah. It's funny because Dave was like... We walked up to the first pond, and Dave was like, oh, this is it? And you were like, no, this isn't the one. It's the other one. He's like, oh, I've never been to the other one. I just did it from a photo reference.
Yeah.
So he and I both got to see it for the first time together, which was nice. Yeah. That was... That was...
Here we go.
Oh, right, there it is. Yeah, that doesn't really look...
Well, I mean, this is just part of...
It doesn't give you any idea.
Yeah, no, it gives you no sense of scope.
It doesn't really look like anything.
Oh, this is the screenshot.
There's a big stretch of water.
Yeah, but it doesn't really...
It doesn't look like Greenwood.
No.
Greenwood's got a much bigger fence.
Yeah.
Like, a much.
There are no cemeteries in Brooklyn Heights, though, so I guess they just made it up.
They probably just made it up. It's a cemetery. They all look of a type.
Yeah. Oh, look, here's the remake.
Interesting.
Mm. Look at this, a huge lamppost.
That is a very big lamp.
I mean, I'm coming... I draw huge lampposts sometimes.
But... Another funny thing was that I just did the village eye.
Ah, yes.
Which is a spoiler, I guess. But it's not really. It's a location
in
Dave's version of New York City.
Yeah.
And we went past the village voice, but Dave took a while to find it.
Yeah. Well.
Yeah. But that was cool. It was funny because Dave's going, is this building it? I'm like, no, the columns are wrong. And he's like, wow, you really know this place well. I'm like, I did study the photograph.
Yeah.
I'm like, there's this shop's next door to it and there's this lamp on the sidewalk. So that was funny.
Hmm.
But yeah, it's cool to see all these places and like, you get a greater appreciation for a place when you paint it and you get a greater appreciation for a place when you see it and visit it.
Mm.
So I'm getting a very greater appreciation for these places from both ends.
Hmm.
Hmm.
So I guess some advice would be if you're making a game that's set in a real world location, you should probably visit it.
I guess.
I mean, I know that, well, Jane Jensen, I know, had never visited New Orleans when she made Gabriel Knight. She just liked Anne Rice, and Anne Rice is very much associated with New Orleans. I mean, I've never read any of her books, but my assumption is that they take place in New Orleans. I know she has a house in New Orleans.
I guess she did a bit of research and went...
Yeah.
Mm.
And I know that when the Phoenix people did the Gabriel Knight remake, they went, or I don't know if someone went. They must have, because, yeah, I accidentally got sent pictures, reference photos for Gabriel Knight, remake.
Nice.
Yeah, I somehow wound up on one of the Phoenix people's contacts, and they accidentally sent me an email, or included me in the email to their developer people, and they were like, here's some reference photos. And I was like, oh, yeah, okay. Because I know that in the remake they tried to make some bits of the New Orleans and the French Quarter look more like their real life counterparts, or at least give more of a feel for it. Like I was talking about, I was telling you about a funny bug that I saw in a video, but Madame Cazenou, when you visit her in the original, it's just like a plain door front, and in the remake, they tried to make it a street scene.
Pull the angle around a bit.
Yeah, pull the angle around and show you like an actual French Quarter street that looks more true to life and authentic. So, yeah, you know, when you have stuff like that, you know, photos help. But like you say, yeah, it's definitely nicer to have a place to visit. Like with a Golden Wake. I mean, most of the places that I put in there that were real life locations I had actually been to.
Right.
So
it was right around the corner from
me, exactly.
Really.
It's just like Dave's, you know, it's within a few blocks radius, basically. So I had more of a sense of depth and, you know, just from looking at the photos, I had an idea of, because I had been most of the places. But yeah. It's good.
I do think, though, that you can do a compressed version, a condensed version.
Oh, sure.
That still conveys this is... I mean...
Well, you've talked about it many times just when we've talked more broadly about art. Like, the whole making it look good versus making it look interesting.
Yeah.
Because, like, you know, you can spend a whole bunch of time trying to render accurately a scene so it looks exactly like it does in real life. But a lot of... The way that things are configured in real life don't necessarily make for good adventure game backgrounds.
That's true, and they don't make for like, pretty art.
Yeah, you know? You did Aster Place, and you took some elements of Astor Place and condensed them all into one screenshot, whereas in real life they would have been a bit more separate.
Like, one's bits 300 feet this way and one's 200 feet behind you, and you just... It doesn't matter. You convey that sense of this is New York. And and also, there's a point where you're like, why am I putting this in? Because the players are just going to walk through this scene. They don't do anything.
Exactly. You know?
What's more important is the thing that doesn't exist, that's down the road, that there's actual narrative exposition and, you know, gameplay stuff to do in there.
Right.
So you kind of have to... I mean, it's like I was saying, you know, we were talking about various things with Dave, and I said, well, you can show this and that, but you don't watch your adventure game characters sleep for 8 hours every night.
Mm.
You don't have to show the little details because games aren't about that. They're about you doing very specific things. You know, if you try and show everything, you'll end up having them eating and using the bathroom and, you know...
And drying themselves.
Yeah, no one wants to watch that. Well, you know what I mean.
I know. I just like making fun of David Cage. This is our podcast, after all.
7 minutes of brushing their teeth and, like, using mouthwash and then, like, you know.
Well, sometimes you just... That's the only way that you do that, through games.
Mm. But sometimes you just go, well, this isn't part of their narrative.
Right.
You know, it doesn't matter that they looked at the paper for 14 minutes on the subway.
Right.
That's not interesting.
Yeah.
You know, what does that add to the narrative? And I think it's the same with creating a location. You know, to get from the subway stop to Dave's place takes, what, 20 minutes?
Yeah, about.
Of walking.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to see all that.
No,
there's a lot of very nice buildings, and there's a lot of great, you know, it's interesting for me to be in that and walking down it, but it's still 20 minutes of walking.
Yeah, sure.
That's a lot of walking.
It is.
That's not very interesting if you're just going click.
Right.
Click. You know, you don't want to walk.
Especially if the walk speed is slow.
Yeah. So, it's just, it's very easy to overestimate how much you need to put in to convey a sense of place.
Mm.
I think you can give a few very broad hints.
Mm-hmm.
You know, New York City, you just add a subway stop.
Yeah, exactly.
It's fairly iconic of the area. And that, even though if it doesn't sort of feel like the place, it still suggests an idea of that place.
Sure, yeah. You romanticize it and you have certain iconography that represents that place.
Sure, it's like London. You just put in one of the red telephone.
Right.
You know where you are.
Yeah.
You know, it might be a place that's never existed and never will exist.
Yeah.
But you see that and you go, oh, London.
That makes me think of Mario is Missing. Did you ever play Mario is Missing?
I did not.
Oh, that was funny because basically the whole thing was that you were Luigi and Mario was kidnapped and in order to progress through the castle, you know, there was a set of levels. Each floor of the castle was a different Koopa kid, and there was like maybe 4 doors per level. And it was kind of like, where in the world is Carmen Sandiego in a sense?
But where in the world is Luigi? Yeah. Where in the castle is Luigi?
Well, yeah, because Luigi would step through a door and he would get magically transported through a pipe to a different geographical location, and he'd have to walk around and interview the locals and kind of be like, what can you tell? Like, it's weird because no one would actually tell him, this is where you are. Like, he would have to ask questions like, what kind of food do you eat here? What sort of...
This sounds like an edutainment game.
Oh, it totally was an edutainment game. And then once you figured out enough clues, you could guess where you were, and if you were correct, you got sent back and then put in another floor.
Okay.
But it was funny because the music, there was... did you ever... No, you wouldn't have played, because you hate Mario. But there's that music from Super Mario World, I think, that it's like...
I know that music.
Right.
Yeah.
So they basically... That was the entire soundtrack of the whole game, but they would modify it to sound like the country that you were in.
Okay.
So if you were in Asian countries, it was like... Ding, 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 ding.
That was beautiful.
Yeah, I know.
Do they have a sad Russian balalaika version?
They may have.
I want most in life.
Yeah, but the funny one was the Australian one, because you can go to Sydney.
It's didgeridoos, isn't it?
No, it's not. It's this weird rock, like...
Okay. Well, probably they thought AC/DC comes from Australia.
Maybe.
It's either that or cultural appropriation.
It might be. So I wonder if you can listen to it on YouTube.
Probably.
I'll have to look that up after the podcast.
Yeah, they're probably just thinking, AC/DC. We either do that or we have to figure out how to use didgeridoos.
But the thing I don't understand either is if Luigi's wandering around Sydney, you know, all the cities looked alike. Let me find it on Moby Games. Because The thing too is like all the cities look alike, and there's no landmarks really. So,
well, that would give it away too quickly.
Right, but that's the thing.
If
logically,
you saw Brooklyn Bridge.
Logically, you should be able to find.
Well, Luigi's sense of direction might be bad, and he might not know how to get to, like, you know, the Tower of London or sort of Brooklyn Bridge.
Yeah, look. So there's the doors, and then you had to, like, oh, Mario would send you messages.
These just look like row houses.
Yeah, that's basically all they were. Look, what city is that supposed to be?
I don't know.
I don't know. It could be. Yeah. And then you had like a little map and your directions. Oh, and you had taxi tokens.
That doesn't even really look like Luigi.
No, it doesn't. Well, it was on PC. What do you want?
What do I want? A different game that doesn't feature Nintendo characters.
Yeah, I guess. But look, like here, he's talking to the locals. Where am I? What's the nearest? Where's the nearest Koopa? What is this?
That's, I mean, that doesn't look like anything I've seen in Mario before in my life.
No, it doesn't.
It's interesting.
Yeah, I mean, it was... Oh, but it was also the software tool where...
Oh, I know them.
Look, he's hiding behind the disc.
Yeah, I know that logo. I've never seen too. Mario hiding behind the logo of the disc before.
Yeah. Oh, and then, of course, they had this nice Mario-fied world map, which was kind of fun.
That's cute.
Yeah.
What else did Software Toolworks do?
Oh, they published a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
They published my version of The Secret of Monkey Island.
Okay. That's interesting. I didn't know that.
Yeah. And, oh, look, it was on NES. Ha! Look, I know what city that is.
Well, it's pretty obvious. Thing is, you have the Statue of Liberty right there, and
the Empire State Building,
and
all these other little huts. Apparently,
yeah, you're a city of huts, mate.
I guess so.
It's interesting.
Mm. Oh, and there was a SNES version as well. Well,
there you go.
How about that?
We've learned something today.
We have learned something today,
and that is it. Is the point of podcasting? Is it not?
I guess it is. Mm. Oh, the city maps were a bit more.
A bit more dense.
Yeah, in the in the PC version. Good.
Very good.
Music.
You're using YouTube while we do a podcast.
You know, I normally can't. Oh, look, let's Russia and Egypt. What did it sound like? Oh, wait, my volume's off. That would probably... Does that sound Russian enough for you?
I don't know. We'll have to ask our Russian listeners.
We will. Why is it Russia and Egypt?
Well, they're right next to each other.
That doesn't teach you very... You clearly didn't play enough Mario. It's missing. You didn't learn.
I know how far they are apart.
Oh, Japan and China.
Oh my gosh. Welcome to the 90s.
Yep.
It's always funny when you hear... Like this sort of music done in tracker, like music style. Like when you play Deus Ex and you get to Hong Kong.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. I've learned something about Mario is missing.
Oh,
today.
But here's England and Australia. You got lumped together with your ancestry here, whatever.
Well, England is pretty rough. This sounds like normal Mario music. Sounds like every platform of music ever.
Yeah, well, it gets a little bit more rocky, I think.
Is this England or Australia, or is it the same song for
both? It's the same song for both. So you're not supposed... It's... Because, see, it's... I guess they have to use it in more than one location, so you don't know exactly where you are. Well, no, I mean, it would give it away if you knew exactly where you were.
Yeah, this sounds like any Mario music ever.
Well, I guess... They should have put it in didgeridoo.
For England as well.
Yes.
Yeah. God save the Queen.
Yeah, okay. That's
enough.
A lot more boring than I thought it was. What's New York? I'm curious. Oh, yeah. That's New York, all right.
Chiptune tracker.
Right. Anyway, we just wasted a bunch of time.
Sorry.
No, that's fine. I was looking to waste time.
Okay. I was apologizing to our listeners.
Oh, I don't. Who cares about them?
As if there are any.
Right. Can you think of any other games that take place in New York, Adventure or otherwise? I'm trying to think. Oh! I was mentioning this to you when we were on Wall Street yesterday. It's not in New York, but I know Hopkins FBI.
Oh, yeah.
They use... Let me see if I can find the screenshot of that one. Because I know that the very beginning of Hopkins FBI with the bank robbery, they very clearly were inspired by the facade of one of the banks in Wall Street, and as well as the New York Stock Exchange, which were also used in, I think, The Dark Knight.
It's funny,
Dave
was talking about Manhunter New York, which I haven't played.
Oh, yeah. I haven't either.
Yeah, I'm curious about that one.
Here we go.
Yeah, I see. That's the exact, pretty much. It's pretty a bit much, different, yeah, but it's very bit, close.
But that's clearly the New York Stock
There's
Exchange.
There's way more trees than there are in actual Wall Street.
Yeah, and that's more or less, I mean, more it's pretty generic. But
it's a bank front.
Yeah.
A big bank front.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty bad.
I never played Hopkins FBI because I have taste.
Poor Richard Cobbett.
Well, someone's got to do it.
I guess it was supposed to be kind of set in New York.
It kind of looks like it.
Because it kind of looks like... This looks like a generic Manhattan street.
Yeah.
One thing I thought was funny about this was that they very blatantly painted over the animation, the walk cycles from George Stobart from Broken Sword.
Well, they were good walk cycles.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Oh, yeah, that's a New York building.
Yes,
right
it
there.
Is.
Oh, well. What a messy apartment the Hopkins has.
No, I thought you were talking about yours.
Oh, no, mine's clean. Mine was clean until you started making piles of clothes.
It's true. I've got clothing everywhere.
Yeah, you do.
There's some on top of your head.
If only you would put some on once in a while.
No.
Yeah, that's fine.
I refuse.
That's fine.
I'm like the opposite of the messy traveler. I put all my clothes in a very neat little spot.
You do, and you're so neat that you forget to wash them.
That's true. Well, I washed half
of them.
You washed
the wrong ones.
Yeah, I washed my clean clothing yesterday. Which shows you... I'm like, I'm not jet lagged, but clearly there's something going on here.
Whatever.
Never mind.
It doesn't matter.
I wasted a few quarters.
Well.
No, I washed some of my dirty clothing. I've got enough.
You do.
Clean clothing.
Good.
Good.
Anyway, we need to ride a roller coaster.
We do need to go and ride a roller coaster.
So we should wrap this up.
Thank you to everybody for listening.
Yes, thank you all for listening. If you want to follow us on Twitter, you can follow me at Grundislav Games.
I am at Ben_304.
And together,
we are at BCT_podcast. God bless America.
God bless America. Goodbye.